to see you here today. I only want to spend just a few moments, really just, you know, in tandem to the video that you saw. I just really sense God is wanting to do just a couple of things today, or maybe three. One, God just wants us as His children to really come to a place of resurrender today. You know, and I don't know about you, but something about celebrating and commemorating and remembering the cross at the time, like Easter, you know, it brings us back to the beginning. It brings us back as to why we are here. You know, Christianity can become so full of Christian stuff, you know, like activities and church and all these things, which are wonderful. It's part of who we are. But once in a while, we need a time like Easter to bring us back to basics. Amen? Bring us back to why we are here. We are here not because we're trying to do church or trying to look like we're Christians. We're here because of Jesus and because of what He did on the cross. So I just want to encourage you today to open your heart. And I want to just follow up on that video and to talk about very, very quickly on the symbol of the veil that was torn that day. Let me just read this passage of scripture to you. And in about a couple of minutes, if you could put the, you guys can start playing quietly if you want to, whenever you are ready. Cool? All right. I like surprising a worship team, so it's good. They make me look good when they're in the background too, so there you go. Matthew chapter 27 from verse 45 until verse 54. Let me just read this to you. He says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?'" Does this mean? Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them ran over with a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded his spirit to God. In verse 51, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Can you say top to bottom? "And the earth shook, and the rocks were split." This happened on the day Jesus gave up his breath. Can you imagine the commotion? Can you imagine the noise? Can you imagine the panic? The earth literally shook and split open when Jesus died. And verse 52 is even more fantastical. "The tombs were also open." Can you imagine? You're out there in the graveyard and the tombs started opening up. Wow. It's like one of those horror movies that we hear about. I don't watch them. "And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" You know, sometimes it takes something to shake us to recognize who Jesus is. For some, it takes an earthquake. For the thief on the cross, it took just a simple faith, knowing he was sinful and needing a Savior. I don't know what it took you to become a Christian. For some, a soft word. For some, a tragedy. But you know what I love about God is that God will do whatever it takes to get you. He will do whatever it would take to get you, to pursue you, to chase you. And today you are here. You might say, "Well, I'm here because of this reason," but you know, I believe that we are where we are because God wants an appointment with us. When I think about the veil that was torn that day, significantly, the veil was a barrier. If you don't know, if you're not familiar with the significance of the veil, the temple of God was split into the outer courts, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies were purported to be the place where God's glory and God's presence resided. It dwelt there. And no ordinary human being could enter that Holy Holies except for one time in the year where the high priest would enter, tied with a rope around his waist and bell around his ankles, in the event that when you approach the holy place of God, if you are in sin or there's something wrong in you and unclean, you would die in his presence. Such is the power of the glory and the presence of God. You see, ironically, when God first created Adam and Eve, God was walking with man. The presence of God did not kill the human being that was on the earth, for they were perfect like God was perfect. You see, any kind of sin separates us from God. Any kind of sin is what kills us, for when sin came, death came to humanity. When sin came, they could no longer reside in the Garden of Eden, which represented the Holy of Holies. That's what the representation of the Holy of Holies is. The Garden of Eden, since the veil itself, upon it was the embroidery of trees and beautiful picture of nature, signifying that beyond that is a representation of God's glory back in the garden. When Adam and Eve was pushed out of the garden because of their sin and their disobedience, a flaming sword was set up so that no man could ever enter the garden again without having to go through that sword. What the flaming sword represents is death to anything that is not eternal, or anything that is sinful, or anything that is not of the substance of God. That's what the sword represents. So ever since then, the flaming sword has been acted in Israel through the sacrifices, and the blood was spilled over and over again. And once a year, the priest will go into the Holy of Holies with these sacrifices under the flaming sword, so that the people of God would be atoned for, so that their sins would be forgiven. And finally, some 2,000 years ago, a perfect sacrifice finally went under that sword. And his blood was spilled so that no animal sacrifice would ever happen again. And in that moment when Jesus died and gave up his life, the veil, the curtain was torn from top to bottom. Interestingly enough, if the earth split open, you'd expect that veil to tear from the bottom to the top. But just to show us that God's hands in this. And in that moment, the veil that was torn heralded this good news to you and I. The separation between man and God is gone. That now we can enter, according to the book of Hebrews, we can enter boldly into the throne of His mercy, not because you're perfect or I'm perfect or you have no sin, but because Jesus, who is perfect, was made to be the eternal sacrifice for all of us. The high priest that continually advocates for you and I in the throne of mercy of God. We have now access. And so the invitation of Jesus is very, very clear for us today, that we now have an invitation to access the presence and the glory of God, not just on a Sunday, not just when we meet together, but every day of our lives. We can walk into that place with no barrier, not because we're perfect, but because Jesus, who is perfect, has made it available for us. The second invitation that we have is that His sacrifice is a sacrifice once and for all. That we don't have to buy into a religion of continual sacrifice in order to gain faith. It's not your sacrifice that brings you into favor of God. It's what Jesus did that gives us the authority, the identity, and the right to be called sons and daughters of God. It's what Jesus did that reconciled us. The invitation that Jesus gives us today, since the veil is torn and it's wide open, is the invitation to intimacy. When Adam and Eve was with God, they walked with God. It wasn't that God was distant. He walked with them. He was with them in the cool of the day. He was walking with them. God is inviting us once more to walk with Him every day, to be at rest with Him. The torn veil is an invitation for you and I to proclaim this good news. That this news is not reserved for those who are learned, for those who are educated, for those who have the letters after their names. It is the news of everybody who has received the goodness of God, because Jesus tore the veil. They said that the veil was so thick, it was as thick as a man's hand. And it was so huge, it was dark. It would take some 300 priests to change the curtain every year. Can you imagine how heavy this thing was? On one end is blue, representing the royalty, the sky, the glory of God. On the other hand, it's red, representing the earth. And these two colors melded together into the middle, which formed the color purple as we know it. And according to tradition, the color purple, in fact, it's the color of the royalty of the King of Kings, which is Jesus Christ. He is the center of it all. I want to say to you today that the greatest invitation that you will have in the veil is this. And while God removed the veil from us, sometimes we create the veil that separates us from God. It could be a veil of sin, a veil of pride, a veil of fear, of not wanting to get close to God, a veil of religion, for that matter. We might think that the only way to God is that we work harder and get it right. Sometimes we want to get it right. No, Jesus got it right. And because He got it right, you will get it right if you put your faith and your trust in Him. So the invitation is to remove the veil from your life, to tear your own veils that's preventing you, that's keeping you away from His presence. What are those things? Is it unforgiveness? Is it offense? Is it the sickness in your body that's preventing you? Whatever excuse we might have, they're nothing more than veils that's preventing us from accessing all that God has for us. I grew up in a religious system that I didn't realize was actually a veil from me to knowing Jesus Christ. It stopped me from knowing Him. And until I come to know Him, I realize. I was contemplating this idea recently, and it really touched my heart. And that video there touched my heart today to just really understand what the cross is all about. I wonder if you, I don't know, I like, how many of you like movies? Three of you? I love movies. I'm a movie buff, man. I'm crazy about movies, right? I love it. Honestly. And I love the creativity and the narratives, and the script and all that stuff. But this veil had been there for hundreds of years. Impenetrable. Impenetrable. And it was immovable. Can you imagine of something in someone's life that had been there for a long time that you cannot move, that cannot penetrate? Jesus can break that. And so here we are faced with this. And I wonder what happened to that veil when Jesus was born. Think about it. The angels heralded the birth of Jesus. I wonder if the veil realized, I'm personal, personifying the veil, as you may realize. Maybe the veil thought the end is coming because Jesus is born. All these hundreds of years that have been sitting here protecting the presence of God, I think I'm going to be out of the job soon. If the veil had a consciousness, I wonder what happened to the veil when Jesus was 12, only a few meters from that veil, and when he realized that he was the Messiah, the veil probably saw the Messiah there and thought, man, I'm about to incur some damage. Maybe the veil started to rattle a little bit in the presence of Jesus at the age of 12. I wonder what the veil did or what happened to the veil when Jesus was baptized and the dove in the form of the Holy Spirit, as a dove came and heaven opened up. Maybe the stitching of the veil started to unravel at that point. I wonder what happened to the veil when Jesus was at the temple and it said, today this is fulfilled, referring to the scriptures that he was the Messiah that was to come. I wonder if the rods that held the veil started to tremble. I wonder what happened to the veil when Jesus was on the cross, crucified. Maybe it started to fray. Maybe it started to sense that the end was about to come. And finally, when Jesus gave up his last breath, the veil could no longer hold itself. After hundreds of years of barricading people from the presence of God, the reign of the veil was over. I'm going to tell you today that the reign of the barrier between you and God is finished. When Jesus said, it is finished, it is finished. Come on, somebody. It is finished. Sin has no power over our lives. Sickness has no power over our lives. Come on, somebody. Fear has no power. Depression has no power. Cancer has no power. None of these things has power over our lives. The veil is torn. The veil is torn. What we have left, the presence of God, his glory, access to his redemptive power for you and I. Today, can we stand to our feet, please? I want us as believers to just come to a place of resurrender. And if there's anything over the last few months, over the last year, over the last week, you feel a sense of a distance from God, for whatever reason it was, maybe a circumstance happened in your life that really just rocked you, a situation in your life, someone said something that kind of brought a lot of self-doubt, maybe, you know, trauma from your past had returned in such a way that derailed or destabilized you emotionally and psychologically, whatever it might be. And these things can separate us from experiencing God. Or maybe there's sin in your life that you need to repent to. As much as I say that to those who are believers today, let me say for those of you though who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'll say this. Being in a religious group does not make you a Christian. Doesn't matter if you attend church, that does not make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is believing in who Jesus Christ is. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that he died and he rose again, you will be saved. What qualifies your name to be written in the book of life is not the fact that you're born into religion. I was born into religion and it wasn't my passport to heaven. The only ticket to heaven is Jesus. You might say, well, maybe I'm not ready. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to wait for the opportune time, for the right moment. Now is the right moment to say yes, because faith is about merely this: believing that Jesus has made a way for you. And you can trust Him for the rest of your life. That is as simple as that. Can we just bow our heads for a few moments and close our eyes? And let me ask you today, if for the first time, or maybe a second time, or maybe you want to recommit your life to Jesus today, if you want to commit your life to Jesus today, and you say to me, Ted, I want to believe in Jesus today. I want to give my life to Him. I don't understand everything, but today I want to say, I am a Christian. And I want Jesus in my life. That's you. Just lift your hand to heaven so I can see it. I see your hand in the back. Thank you. Anybody else? Quickly, lift your hand. I see your hand on the side. Thank you. This is an amazing moment between you and God. You say, I'm going to break the barriers in my life. I'm going to say yes to God. Anybody else? Just lift your hand right now to heaven. Lift it high so I can see it and I can acknowledge it in Jesus' name. And I want every member of our church to pray this prayer with me right now, especially if you're recommitting your life to Jesus today. And just before I pray that prayer, how many of you here today as believers is say, Ted, I want to break the barriers in my life and experience the fullness of God? If that's you, just lift your hand. I see many hands. I see many hands. Let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, pray it after me. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have made the way. I acknowledge that Jesus is the way. So I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, to come into my life anew and afresh. I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior this day. I break every separation, everything, every barrier that stops me from experiencing your glory. And Father, I ask that you visit me with your Spirit in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's lift our hand and worship the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can we sing a song tomorrow? Thank you.